Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and the phone lines are open right now at 1-800-677-9377. That's 1-800-677-9377, and this is day two of the Revelation Month at Basic Gospel, and this is your invitation to call or keep listening to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. If you have a Bible question, particularly if it pertains to the book of Revelation, or if you have a personal issue that you'd like to talk about, well, call right now. 1-800-677-9377. That's toll-free across North America. 1-800-677-9377. Calling or listening, the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Well, Bob, yesterday, of course, we were in the starting blocks, as I said earlier, and bang, we were off on day one of our adventure, our live series on the book of Revelation. Today, of course, is day two, and I know that I'm looking forward to it as well as you are.
Well, most definitely. This is a wonderful study. It's the culmination of the good news of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, and we certainly see that as the centerpiece of this first chapter. We see in verses 5, verses 17, and verses 18, the gospel message, the fact that Jesus died and is now alive, and the fact that his death freed us from our sins by the blood of Jesus. So we see the gospel message just right here, and it's this gospel message is going to carry forth all the way to the end. Why? Because it is the culmination of this good news. We get to see where this good news is going to ultimately take us as far as our future is concerned. But we also will see, in light of that future, how this good news impacts us today.
Yeah.
And as we talked about yesterday, Revelation really is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's how the book begins, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's an unveiling, an uncovering of who he is in his glory. God raises the curtain on heaven and gives us a peek into what's happening there. And we see Jesus for who he is after he ascended and took his rightful place at the right hand of God the Father. So this is an incredible book. I love how John sets it up. He talks about the fact that he is a fellow partner in suffering, a fellow partner in the kingdom, a fellow partner in patience and endurance. He's identifying with us. He's not one of these super apostles that try to set themselves apart from everyone else. And he connects with us. He recognizes that we're all going to go through trials and tribulations. We're all going to experience suffering in life. And he says, I'm right there with you. And he talks about the suffering that he endured, being exiled to the Isle of Patmos for his preaching of the Word of God and his testimony regarding Jesus Christ. And it was on this isle that one day he heard a voice that sounded like that of a trumpet blast. And the voice basically said, I want you to write down all that you see and send it to the seven churches of Asia.
Right.
When he turned to take a look at who it was, he was just mesmerized by this vision of Jesus Christ. And verses 12 through 16 lay out what he saw, and it's quite astonishing.
Striking, yeah.
Striking indeed. He says, I turned to see who was speaking to me. I saw seven gold lampstands, and standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were like white wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. And he held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth, and his face was like the sun in all of its brilliance. And John wrote this, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I love that. When I saw him, have you seen Jesus like this? If you have, it's going to move you to fall at your feet and worship him. That's the most important thing that we can experience as human beings is worship of the one true God as revealed in the person of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now, when John saw this, I'm sure he was frightened beyond measure. Jesus knew that, and he reached out. He put his hand on his shoulder and said, "Don't be afraid. There's nothing to fear.
You're not.
Jesus is not someone that we should hide from and turn and run away from, to cover ourselves over so he can't find us or can't see us. No, the vision of Jesus is to attract us, to enable us to draw near to him. And so he wants us to realize that we don't have to be afraid. He's the first and the last, the living one who died but who is alive evermore. He's the one who holds the keys of death and the grave. And we know he's conquered those.
Yeah.
And so there's nothing to fear.
Absolutely.
This is great stuff.
That's the great news, you know, that we see throughout the new covenant. Don't fear. Fear not.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, this is, of course, day two of our Revelation series, and we thank you for joining us. If you haven't joined our email list in order to get the daily synopsis, we encourage you to go online to basicgospel.net. Not only will you get late news and information about the ministry and upcoming events, you'll receive that email, a synopsis, a preview of each day's focus on the book of Revelation. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net, and we hope you'll take advantage of that and get signed up for the email list. When you go online, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Queens, New York, and talk to Hannah, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Hannah.
Hello. Yes, I have a question. I was listening on the radio, but you were talking from the Revelation chapter 1, right?
That's correct.
And on the chapter 1, verse 10, I'm sorry, the expression on the Lord's Day, I would like if you can explain to me what exactly does it mean
there? Okay. Good question, Hannah. So to our listeners, Hannah is wanting to know what the phrase in verse 10 of Revelation 1, the Lord's Day, means. And
yes.
I take it to be simply the first day of the week, a Sunday. And here's why I say that. You know, when the Jews gathered to worship, when the Jews celebrated the Sabbath, that was the seventh day. That was what we would know as a Saturday. And
mm-hmm.
they set that apart as a holy day. Well, when these Jews started receiving Christ, they still wanted to gather on Saturday and carry out their worship. But in time, they were excluded. They were cast out of the synagogues. They were cast out of those groups. So they decided to start meeting on the first day of the week in honor of the Lord's resurrection. So I think when it says the Lord's Day, it's simply referring to the first day of the week, the day that Jesus Christ was raised back to life. And we see back in John chapter 20, when the women went to the tomb, it was on the first day of the week, early in the morning. So resurrection took place on that first day. And I think that was to signify that there's a new day coming for each and every one of us who receive Christ by faith. So that's what the Lord's Day means in this context.
It's actually throughout the New Testament. I think I found this expression in other books maybe. But sometimes it says the first day is, so that is more clear, but on the Lord's Day, I wasn't sure. So just want to have someone can help me on that. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome, Hannah. Thanks for your call today. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this booklet, Our Guaranteed Future, just for taking part in today's program, okay?
Thank you very much.
You hold the line.
And, Bob, we'd like to let any of our listeners know that to aid your study of Revelation and support Basic Gospel at the same time, you'll receive our booklet, Our Guaranteed Future, for a gift of any amount. But For your generous gift of $50 or more, you'll receive both a booklet and our 8-CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery by Richard Piper. Just visit basicgospel.net to make your donation, the donation of your choice. Again, that's basicgospel.net, or you can call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours and speak with our operator and accomplish your request and make your gift to Basic Gospel. 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of open lines, plenty of time on the clock. Want to hear from you on this edition, day two of the Revelation here at Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed. Well, a couple of things before we go back to our phone lines. As we talked about yesterday, the book of Revelation is best understood when we view it through the lens of the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yeah. And we certainly see that very clearly laid out for us in chapter 1. We see the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we see the impact. And that good news is to carry us forward in life. It's our guaranteed future, but it's also our power to live through trials and tribulations today. So it is the centerpiece of this particular book. Also, throughout the book of Revelation, we're going to be introduced to various numbers. Right in chapter 1, 7 is introduced to us. 7 is sometimes referred to as God's number. It's also the number of completeness. So whenever you see the number 7 in the book of Revelation, keep that in mind. So, for example, when he says, I'm sending this to the 7 churches, there's a dual meaning. There were actually 7 churches in Asia Minor, which is the area that we know of as Turkey today. And he sent these messages to those 7 churches, but it also means the universal church, the entire church. So this was a one single message to the entire church of Jesus Christ. It's talking about fullness and completeness. And so it's important for us to understand that. This numerology, which John uses, really helps tell the story of the revelation. And it's quite significant and quite powerful when you grab hold of it. Yeah. So it's just a fascinating study. I'm sure just so excited about it. Well, let's go to Sarah in Killeen, Texas. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
Doing wonderful. How are you doing?
I am well. I have a quick question that I think it has two parts, actually.
Okay.
It's about chapter 12, where the woman and the dragon are running and chasing, I guess you could say. The woman, is the woman symbolic of Mary, and is the child supposed to be Christ? And the dragon, when he throws down the third of the stars, is that supposed to be the third of the heavens? And if so, how does all of that play in a vision that Yochanan is having, as opposed to it actually happening?
Well, Sarah, wonderful question. There's this gospel message, and, you know, I'm going to take you back, to Genesis, and to chapter 12 and 15 of the book of Genesis, where God gives a promise to Abram, and then to Abraham. He becomes Abraham. And that promise had to do with the Messiah. Through your seed, the world will be blessed. And that seed was Jesus Christ. And when Jesus came on the scene and he accomplished what he was called to do through his death, burial, and resurrection, then salvation was available to all people. We could be saved and be restored to the way that God intended for us to be from the very beginning. Well, Satan doesn't want that to happen. So he's doing everything in his power to keep this seed from coming into existence. And that's what this great conflict in chapter 12 is all about. But as we see, God's plan prevails. Nothing can thwart what he wants to accomplish. Even the greatest of enemies does not have the power to stop it. And even though Satan takes a third of the angels with him, and that's what the dragon represents, is Satan, and when he sweeps his tail through the stars, he takes one third of them. Those are the fallen angels.
And the woman is Mary.
I think it represents more than just Mary. I think it represents God's people. You know, it was through a bloodline of people that started with Abraham and went all the way through to Jesus. So I think that's what this could refer to as well.
So not, the woman not, is not specific. It's just, you're saying,
correct.
Symbolic.
Correct.
Okay, so this baby is not really Christ represented either.
Well, yeah, the seed is Christ. It is definitely Christ, but he came, you know, his inception was by the Holy Spirit, but it was through a particular bloodline. You know, that's why he's called the Lion of Judah. He came from that bloodline, and that had significance to the Jewish people, and it certainly has significance to us today. But this is just some vivid imagery of how Christ came into the world and Satan's attempts to keep that from occurring. But we'll
Didn't
get
Christ, we'll, Mary.
Yeah, Christ came from Mary, absolutely, but she was a part of this long line of people that God foretold would be the bloodline of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And we'll get more into that when we actually study through chapter 12 in a couple of weeks, okay?
Thank you.
Hey, you're more than welcome, Sarah. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this booklet as well, okay? You hang on.
Time on the clock, and we'd love to hear from you. Open lines, 1-800-677-9377. And we'll talk more about the booklet as we close the broadcast.
Yes, indeed. It's a wonderful offer, and we hope many people will take advantage of it. And it's available for a gift of any amount,
right,
to Basic Gospel. And we certainly need your support at this particular time as we go into the final quarter of the year. We certainly would like to end the year on a very positive note, in the black, not in the red.
Right.
So we need your help to do that. Mm-hmm. And this gospel message is worth the investment. We're not asking you to invest in us or the things that we're doing. We're asking you to invest in the power of the gospel to change lives.
What God is doing.
That's right. It changed your life. Give back so it can change others' lives as well.
Yeah.
And the support you give helps us to continue to create resources and develop things that can go right back into your life as well. So join with us. Mm-hmm. Be a part of the Basic Gospel financial team.
Yeah, you can do so by going to basicgospel.net or by calling 1-800-727-2828.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Phil in Phoenix listening to us on KXXT. Hi, Phil.
Hi there, Bob. I'm probably going to get off the subject a little bit. I was going to talk to you about communion. I have my church that, you know, they go and, you know, about confessing your sins and all that and, you know, getting everything all right before you take communion. And, I have a lot of things in my life that I don't say to God that I have this in my life, I have that in my life. But in the Bible, it talks about that if you don't, before you take communion, and if you don't say, you know, stuff before you partake communion, that you can have a premature death, or you can get sick and all that. Is that true or something? You know.
Well, Phil, like the Bible doesn't say that at all. The Bible says very little about the Lord's Supper. It gives the story of the Lord's Supper as Jesus met with his disciples. He breaks the bread and he tells them the meaning of the bread and he raises the cup and he says, this is the cup of the new covenant. And then he encourages us to do this as often as we can to proclaim his death until he comes. So when we gather together as a people, we're actually celebrating this good news of Jesus Christ. We're celebrating what his death, burial, and resurrection has accomplished and achieved for each and every one of us individually and corporately. And one of the things that his death has accomplished for us is the total and complete forgiveness of sins. In this new covenant, our sins have been forgiven. There's no longer any sacrifice for sin. And God says that he will remember them no more. So when we raise the cup, that's what we celebrate. We celebrate the fact that we are forgiven people. Oftentimes, as you say, we make it into a time of retrospection, of pulling out all the sins we've committed and trying to confess those in order to get forgiven. Well, it's just negating the very purpose of the Lord's Supper. We're there to celebrate what Jesus accomplished. He took away our sins once and for all. Now, the Corinthian church, they had just tons of problems. You know, we talk about today, if we could just go back and be like the early church. Well, do you want to be like the Corinthians? I think not. They had it all messed up. They had divisions of every kind. They were abusing spiritual gifts. And boy, they were making a mockery of this Lord's Supper. They were getting drunk. They were taking it in an unworthy manner. And they were not acknowledging the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And as a matter of fact, Paul said, it's not even the Lord's Supper. What you're doing is not even the Lord's Supper. And so his admonishment to them was to take it in a worthy manner, to recognize the body and blood of Jesus Christ, not let divisions exist when you gather together. So there were the haves and the have-nots. Those that had stuff treated those who didn't have stuff as second-class citizens, like they didn't belong. And Paul took exception to that. Those that had, they brought their drink, and they just turned it into almost a pagan worship service. And he's saying, man, if you continue like this, you're going to be condemned with the rest of the world. And that condemnation isn't the condemnation of you going to lose salvation. It's just the fact that you're doing that is proving that you're not saved to begin with. And that's what he's talking about, is to recognize the body and blood of Jesus Christ and to celebrate that wonderful Lord's Supper with joy in your heart, recognizing that Jesus has taken away our sins once and for all, and that he has added us to the body of believers. It's a wonderful picture. So, Phil, if you're in Christ and Christ is in you, the next time you take the Lord's Supper, do so with a smile on your face and joy in your heart, recognizing what Christ has accomplished once and for all. Well, you hang on the line. We'll send you a copy of this booklet as well. Thanks for your call, Phil.
Thanks for joining us for Basic Gospel, everybody. A reminder that your support helps keep Basic Gospel on the air and online across North America and literally around the world. Because of what Jesus has done, people the world over have gone free, and you can help keep that same good news coming. To thank you for supporting Basic Gospel with a gift of any amount, you're going to receive our booklet called Our Guaranteed Future by Richard Piper. But check this out, friends. For your generous donation of $50 or more, you'll not only get the booklet, you'll receive the 8-message CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery. It's a great offer. Hope you'll take advantage of it. A great way to keep Basic Gospel on the air and at the same time, get great clarity on the book of Revelation. The booklet, Our Guaranteed Future, for a gift of any amount, that booklet and the CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery, for a donation of $50 or more. To make the donation of your choice, call 1-800-727-2828 or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828 or at our website, basicgospel.net. While you're online at basicgospel.net, be sure to click subscribe in the upper menu to join the email list if you haven't already done so, and you'll receive the day-by-day preview of each day's focus on the Revelation. So click subscribe at basicgospel.net and you'll be instantly added ready for that next exciting study that will happen again tomorrow at the same time. So until then, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and all the ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel and Day 3 of the Revelation. See you there. Bye-bye.